It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sports Joe presents the GAA Hour.
Welcome once more to the GAA Hour here on Sports Joe. Be sure to repost any of our content as it's so important to help us grow. Give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you're listening in on and tell your friends about us as well. Dan Casey here with you, and I'm once again delighted to be joined here by Lee Costello. We'll go to you first this week. How are you getting on?
I'm doing good, yeah. Championship's back. Good game in Ulster, yeah. Good weekend.
Niall?
All good, Dan. I was at the hurling on Saturday night, and it was a very enjoyable day, so looking forward to the show.
I'll save the Kilkenny fan rant for later on. But you enjoy it? We're in a new studio. We probably should mention, what do you make of it so far?
Yeah, it's a lovely setup, and there's extra lighting here as well for all of us, so we'll be looking good for sure.
It's all stuff for the football boys coming out there, all plants and stuff. We get nothing. We just have the wooden board behind us.
Yeah.
What you make of that now, Jay? Our budget being cut, I'd say.
Oh, I definitely. Sure, we got you in. We're already at the bottom.
We are scraping absolute shit here now. On a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are we, Niall, that the championship is back?
I'd say, listen, I'm only going to say a 6 out of 10, Dan, because it wasn't the best start to the championship, I suppose you'd have to say. And looking ahead to the provincial championships in football probably don't excite people too much anymore. And looking ahead to the fixtures next week, they're not probably like blockbuster. Like it kicked off with Galway and London at the weekend, which is, you know, always going to be a bit of a hiding. It's good to be back, but for me it won't start until
Munster
Munster hurling and the Ulster football really kind of kick off, and maybe Roscommon and Mayo in 2 weeks as well. So
we'll go into it a bit later on, but the Ulster football or Ulster football doesn't really matter anymore either, which is kind of sad thing about it.
That's kind of the sad thing, I suppose, about the provincials, that they don't really, it doesn't really kick off. I see Lee looking at me here through the, he doesn't look too happy, but the provincials kind of have, they've lost their
except Munster Hurling, of course, which is by far and away the best provincial championship.
Yeah,
I'm walking out.
Yeah. All time.
Well, from a football perspective, they don't have the same weight, since most of the teams that are going to be through anyway, you know, into the group stages. So,
Well, plenty to go on, get it over and
the
done.
The Ulster Championship is brilliant. Like, it is still,
and there was no fucker in the place there.
Yeah,
yesterday,
but it's
to see it.
Yeah, but that's a whole separate issue in terms of attendances in the GAA and stuff. Ulster's still everything to play for. Now I'm an Ulster man, and I'll still move the provincial championships before, because it'll be the sacrificial lamb as such. But don't go dissing the Ulster. As long as your owner in it, it's really important.
It's no Munster hurling. Well, plenty to look forward to on today's show. But now, like any good ref, we're headed for the replay. Now, normally, lads, we'd go for an old mass debate at the top of the show, but I think with this topic, it's best we just go with a normal debate here. Obviously, it's still a huge issue and all, but just because it's a different organisation and all, you know, it's not really GAA yet, and I don't want the GAA, we're getting cancelled 6 shows in, but the Camogie Association vote against allowing their players to wear shorts, and they must continue to wear skirts. That's a shocking decision, mate.
I suppose it's probably not a surprise the way you see a lot of these things go with the camogie, and the ladies' kind of associations don't seem to help themselves at times with decisions like these. But I suppose this one was it was fairly clear. Like, there was a lot of players have over the last few years, they've all kind of said that they don't want to be wearing skirts, and they prefer to have the option to wear shorts. Apparently, most of them wear the shorts in training instead, and they find that more comfortable and so on. But it was fairly heavily defeated. It was, it wasn't that close of a vote. It was something like 60% for the skirts to be banished. Like, I know my sister plays camogie for Tipperary, and they're in the league final this weekend against Galway.
They're cooking seriously well this year.
They're going well, yeah, in fairness. I suppose it's probably a big chance for them, but I was just asking her, like, would you mind? She didn't mind wearing the skirts anyway, so that's the only kind of reference point I have. But lots of other camogie players, Kosh Devan, Grace, they all seem to say they don't like the skirts. And then the delegates, there was 150 representatives at that Congress on Saturday, and they voted fairly unanimously against it, so they're not listening to the players.
Lee, it's just showing them up as dinosaurs, like, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so embarrassing. Like, they're literally telling these women what they can and can't wear. Like, I mean, what an outdated and ridiculous way of thinking. I have no words for it, to be honest. I mean, it's just outrageous. There's no like benefit to it either. Like, it's not. It's nothing to do with the game. Yeah. Do you know, like, it could not be more irrelevant, other than the fact it's trying to really highlight the gender of it, that this is definitely girls. Just so you know,
there's
by the way,
there's definitely an air of that about it. Yeah, it's weird,
you know what
in
I mean?
That regard.
Because, like, you might not know because it's sport. Like, that's what it feels like they're saying, that they need to have this differentiation, which is just beyond ridiculous. If the players are coming out, like, sorry, I seen last year, you know, the way they were doing like protests and campaigns wearing the t-shirts and things like that, about like paying expenses and whatever. What would happen if they just didn't wear the skirts and wore shorts instead? Yeah. Like, you know,
they'd be powerless. They couldn't do anything about it. Is the ref going to stop the game?
Yeah.
Unlikely.
It's a yellow card, apparently, for if you wear the skirt. And then if the dissent continues, I read yesterday in the Irish Examiners, it could be you could get sent off. So I don't really know
how long do you have.
I really don't know what that means. Like, if the dissent continues, does it mean like if you don't change your skirt in the middle of the match?
It's like the cube. You only have 30 seconds to get it done.
Yeah. So it's a strange one, isn't it? It's just
They've showed themselves up here, and it shows, I guess, the amalgamation won't be as maybe as smooth as first thought, because the GA can be dinosaurs at time, but then you maybe think the Camogie Association be a bit more lenient in that regard, and they might be more forward thinking, but clearly not.
No, I don't think so. There were some people saying that, you know, they could all go with that as a protest this weekend, that all the players wear the shorts. But then I suppose you might have the odd one that might want to wear the scarves.
Oh,
so
yeah.
you just don't know then. Like,
yeah, surely they should all just come together now for one occasion. And just wear the shorts.
Yeah. Yeah, wasn't there something like that a few years ago? There was a protest on, and Kilkenny and Galway were playing, and the Kilkenny team didn't take part in the protest before the game. Like, and, you know...
Oh, sure, they're well used to doing that. Yeah. The Cork one, I'm still bitter over that one. That's where the hate was coming from, was it? 2005 or 6?
What was that over?
Oh, jeez, I can't even remember now, but I remember Kilkenny didn't do
but
it.
But you cared a lot about it.
Yeah. Was it pulling up the socks in the parade, I think, or something like that?
It wasn't as menial as that, no. I think it was something a bit more. I think it was something to do with the Players Association and, like... more along the lines of players getting paid. Jesus, that's going to annoy me. I'm already annoyed about Kilkenny now, right? But we'll move on to him here. The big one, of course, from the weekend, despite what the Nordies might say, was the National Hurling League final of Clare and Kilkenny. Clare, of course, 3-16, Kilkenny 1-20. Niall, you were our pie in the sky on this one. How did you get on?
I was, it was, sure, Storm Kathleen was forecasted for the evening in Turles.
Does that explain the shit attendance from Kilkenny? It blew him back into the county, actually.
I don't know how bad it was. There was 12,000 there. I'd say maybe half of them were Kilkenny, Dan.
Would you stop? But, the cameramen were struggling to find him on the TV.
I didn't see it on the TV now, so I don't know. But you have the bee in your bonnet over these poor Kilkenny fans. I just feel like I have to. Someone has to stand up for them. But yeah, I suppose before the game, that was a little bit of the worry. Like some people were saying that, with the storm on that, the game mightn't go ahead or whatever, or they might have to push back to Sunday. And they obviously couldn't push back any further than Sunday because the championship is coming up so soon. But thankfully, the weather held up. The storm wasn't too bad at all, really. It was just a bit of a wind blowing down the field. And I'm sure you could see it in the early stages of the game. It affected both sides with their shooting. It was sort of a scrappy opening to the game. You had Kilkenny lads like Adrian Mullen, who is probably one of the most accurate shooters around. He was hitting wides, and John Conlon was hitting wides, Mark Rogers was hitting wides. There was a lot of wides early on. Probably took a while for the game to get going, and Aidan McCarthy's goal just before half time was the spark that Clare needed.
Yeah, do you think was the big shoulder incident as well was another spark that really added to the game?
That was, yeah.
What was your take on it?
Yeah, I just thought it was a poor decision.
Look, tough fuck.
It was the Clare fans that got on top of the referee when it happened, and the Clare team. They started shouting at Johnny Murphy.
It'd be much louder than the
Clare. But the thing was that Johnny Murphy didn't. He wasn't blowing for it. Like he threw his arms out wide as if to say, "Play on." Like this is a fair hit, and it was a fair hit as far as I can see. Mullen lined him up. He's a good man for a big hit, and he hit Colin Lowen like a beautiful, perfect textbook shoulder. So very unlucky to be called back. I don't know why he was yellow carded, because like what is the yellow card for? Like if he's saying that it's for hitting him in the head, it's a red card. He didn't hit him in the head, he hit him perfect in the shoulder. And it just seemed to me like whether it was the linesman, the ref wanted to play on, he should have backed himself, because it was a brilliant tackle. And
that goes to show, you know, home advantage as such, or you know, being the louder fans there, having more fans in a stadium, that can impact a game.
Yeah, I don't know if that's what would have affected Johnny Murphy. I think it might have been more the Clare players in his face, the linesman coming up to him as well, because there was a few Kilkenny fans around me actually just in front of the press box, and they were certainly they weren't too happy. You could hear them shouting.
I know. Yeah, it was a fair shoulder.
It was a fair shoulder.
Even I will give them that. Mm. I think it was a fair shoulder.
Yeah.
Lee, what was your take on it?
Well, confusion. such as my lack of confidence in hurling. Sometimes I see things like that and I'm like, well, I've obviously missed something. Do you know what I mean? But in this case, like, then I go on Twitter.
Some people call it for a red, like.
Yeah. That is what I was asking. I mean, if it was a foul, why was it a foul? Like, what did the ref or the linesman think was wrong? Do you know what I mean?
I don't know.
Be a frontal challenge? Is that what he thought happened?
I suppose it was kind of to the front of his shoulder more so than to the back, like, and maybe that was it. But
because how do you get it wrong? Because it's like you thought it was this or it wasn't. So yeah, I just couldn't see what else it could even have been.
Yeah, it's
if it wasn't
just
a shoulder.
You don't like to see it being pulled, because it's a big part of the game.
A hurling needs more challenges like that.
Exactly, because you don't see much of it anymore, and that's probably what it's missing at times. You know. Yeah. Yeah, we kind of had that scrappy opening to the game, and it was kind of more so like Kilkenny were playing short passes and Clare were doing the same, and there was just no real, you know, physical contact, which is what like really gets a game going.
Yeah, but like, yeah, exactly. And it is gone, and sure, geez, the Rock against Limerick all those years ago.
Iconic.
Like Cork were down that game. He shoulders, I don't know what Limerick player that is, but and then pops the ball over the bar, and like that drove Cork on to win that game.
Absolutely.
They were in trouble beforehand, and physicality has gone out of hurling.
It changed the game, because even Mullen was having a very good game, and he had 3 points from play score, and he gets this yellow card, and you know that kind of puts a player on edge, and he didn't have as good a second half at all, and I think affected him.
He probably got a bit nervy around the uproar
a bit angry as well, I think. He wasn't happy, and I seen him fighting with Dave McInerney later on in the game. I'd say it just kind of upset him and upset Kilkenny. Sometimes it can work for the best, but it didn't on Saturday.
Good stuff. Kilkenny whinging, they had no TJ, but Clare had no Kelly.
They
nullify each other out.
It nullifies each other, and Clare were obviously, Shane O'Donnell only came on at half time, and McInerney as well. I suppose Walter Walsh was another lad who was missing for Kilkenny, but I'd say
even starting?
You wouldn't know. It's a tight enough call. So I'd say on balance, all that kind of stuff evens itself out. I suppose the thing was for for Clare is that they were so much more the dominant team in the game, and you know, they went 5-6 points up at one stage, and you think that this, like, Clare are going to close this out, they're going to win a handy, but do you know, they kind of have a tendency of letting teams back into games, and at the same time Kilkenny have that tendency of like never saying die, and like that could be something to do with the brilliant fans that they have roaring them on in the stadium as well. But all joking aside, I suppose the credit has to go to Martin Keown, and he's a player who I think will never be dropped off. I should never be dropped off the Kilkenny team again. I think he's the scapegoat. If Kilkenny have a bad day and if Keown doesn't score, he's always dropped the next day. Maybe like a Shane Kingston for Cork, and they love to drop him. But I think it was shown on Saturday, and it's been shown a good few times, they have nobody better in the forwards to replace him, and he came on and got 4 points, changed the game.
Hogan, was he man of the match for you?
Look, he was very good, and his battle with Owen Cody was a joy to watch now, and the two boys, like, two serious...
A traditionalist like yourself now was like, a lad wearing a body armour could never be man of the match.
Yeah. The red body armour is a strange one, isn't it? But they had a brilliant, brilliant battle, and two real competitors going at it, and, you know, they had both had their moments. Like, Hogan came out with some brilliant balls, but Cody came out, still struck back with 1-1, and he's 1-1 from play. Like, he's just a joy to watch, Owen Cody. He's always looking to score goals. It was a brilliant battle. But I suppose when you're talking man of the match, like, can you look past the lad who contributes 16 points to the score, like Aidan McCarty with 2-10?
And he is building as one of the best free takers in the country. I mean, are you putting him as the free taker instead of Kelly Come Championship?
I'd say because Kelly isn't a bulletproof free taker either, and sometimes it can kind of affect him. And like, it's funny, I was up in the press box and I was kind of saying, like, Ed McCarty.
Sorry, you were in the press box.
I was up in the red seats, getting FBD gave us out a goodie bag actually.
Did they? What was in it?
What'd you get?
With both Dairy Milk bar, Dairy Milk big bag of buttons, and bag of potatoes.
Did you not and think to those, get two more?
You know, the waters with the fancy box, kind of, it's more like a box of water.
Fiji water.
Fiji water.
Jesus Christ, you were well wined and dined up there. Yeah. They're looking for something off you.
Yeah, I asked for an extra pair of bags for the GR, but they said no, so I tried my best. But,
well, you'll not be back then.
Yeah. But it was kindly sponsored by FBD. I'd actually look after you brilliantly down in the
I've
in
seen
the press
super
box.
Value, actually, in fairness. I can't wait to get in the press box there, because they have like a whole like crisps and everything, a full-on super value, like massive.
It's like a grocery
a shopping bag
like
than a goodie bag.
For up in Parky Creeve, is it? Jeez, man, you may get in there.
I'll bring you back something, lads. I'll get you something.
Yeah, appreciate that.
But Aidan McCarty.
Yeah. I got lost track there. But no, I was kind of saying that we were saying, a few of us beside each other in the press box were saying that he's struggling. And, you know, he didn't have a great league campaign, was kind of hot and cold, and he had not a great start to the game. And you're kind of saying, like, you know, he could be the first lad taken off here. But he battled back and scored 2-10. Probably should have got man of the match. It's 2 weeks' time to Limerick. You're hardly not going to start a lad who scored 2-10. You know, he's coming in great form. And by the looks of things, Tony Kelly's going to be missing anyway, because he didn't even get a minute at the weekend.
Are we still confident Davy Fitzgerald is the best hurler in the country at the moment?
I'd say there's a debate. There's definitely
there's a
debate.
Debate to be had.
Yeah, there's a mass debate to be had. Like, because he didn't have a brilliant game at the weekend.
Man.
You know, he got a great goal, and Kilkenny fans will definitely be unhappy about that, because he did take about 12 steps.
I think, yeah, it was 11 steps.
He did, like he did,
and but he
like,
threw the ball for the McCarty one. Then for the third
really,
one,
really, yeah. Like, that's the thing, it'll pop up later, because it was the same for the Westmeath goal against Wicklow. When a player, and Johnny Murphy was actually, it was his, you know the way referees have a thing, it was his thing on the night, I'm going to blow lads for steps. And he blew Billy Ryan early on, he blew Rogers, and he blew Adam Hogan in the second half. And then it comes to this goal chance. And when a lad is going for goal lads, he can just take as many steps as he wants. And
the referee just seems to forget about it. It's like the adrenaline or something.
It's just like, it's maybe too big a call, he's going for goal, Like, can I pull him for set? It's like, they can't use this rule.
He wasn't even being tackled. You know, sometimes they're being tackled and then they get away with it. But it wasn't even a case fouled, of that. Like, yeah.
But it was the same. Luke Loughlin does the same for Westmead's goal against Wicklow. Takes about 13 steps to set it up for Johnny Lynham. Like, and you can just... It's not like, because it's not fair on a defender.
No.
Like, Richie Reid had done a good job holding Fitzgerald out there, and then, you know, he gets punished.
How can refs police it better?
Well, it just, like, I'm not saying you have to blow lads after four steps, because, like, you're, it's nearly an unwritten rule that you're allowed six or seven, isn't it? Like,
when I was playing, I was always so conscious of just the four.
Really?
Like,
yeah.
Oh, we'd be so bad.
You kind of did it
out loud. Basically, in my head, I would think it out loud, like.
Yeah. But like, it's a tough one, but you just have to call it. If it gets to above 10 steps, the rule is four.
Do you think at intercounty level, they just assume the players aren't going to do it? Because it's such a...
Same with the throwing the ball as well. They know they're doing it.
They know well.
They can't pull for it. They can't blow for everything.
You know, you're telling a county player that he's, you know, throwing a ball, like, which is and not doing it properly.
You
see,
something you learn from the age of what, like, eight, hand passing.
But like, if you were going to like...
They do it, but like... It's only if it's blatant that it should be pulled, you know, and like that was blatant, the Dave Fitzgerald one. And just the disappointing thing was that Johnny Murphy was pulling for that. Like, that was his thing, like, and he just still didn't do it, like, so. Because it, I suppose, it changed the game, like.
Owen Cody fires Kilkenny back into it. Then Kilkenny get a penalty. Was in its bollocks a penalty, though.
Like. It wasn't a penalty. It was nearly a dive, and like, you don't see much of that in hurling, like, but. Well, first of all, it was given on that, you know, that new rule where if there's a goal opportunity, it's a penalty. But, like, it wasn't really, because Donnelly had released the ball.
Like, and he'd squared it,
and there was a lad still in front of him. So, like, it wasn't a goal-scoring opportunity. And Hogan got the black card as well, which wasn't a black card. So, it definitely wasn't a penalty. And, you know, if TJ was there, he would have buried it. And Kilkenny could have easily won the game.
Yeah, it didn't matter because it was saved.
Yeah. I actually just wanted to say, Owen Cody, that goal he got, lads, wasn't that something special?
It was a nice one, all right, bottom corner.
The way he kind of...
I mean, it was all right.
Took it in and... Come on, Dan. Like,
I know, it was good.
Show some love to your Kilkenny.
He is a serious...
You're softening up a bit to the Kilkenny lads, aren't you? You know, it was all, you were all gung-ho earlier on, but you're kind of getting a bit of...
The comment section, that's where all the Kilkenny fans are.
One fully grown woman was like, you don't know what I'm capable of. I
was
like,
that was the turning point.
She messaged me on TikTok, you don't know what I'm capable of, Dad, stop giving out about Kilkenny.
And you were like, you know what, I don't know. That could be anything.
Anyone, CIA or something.
Was that our friend Sarah?
No. She's around later, lad. Don't you worry. Well, me and her are in talks in other regards.
Okay.
Conor Cleary goes on to lift the cup. Lee, I'll go to you here. Huge win for Clare in terms of going into an All Ireland.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I sort of thought the celebrations were a bit subdued, though. Mm. I don't know if you felt that. Like,
From the players, yeah.
From the players and even the coaching things and in the interviews afterwards. Like, I thought that they were... I thought that this was a massive, massive deal. You know, even just Limerick not being in it and getting another... Because how many titles can you really win? Like, three?
Clare have only won five, and this is their fifth in their history. Like,
yeah, exactly. Mm. And they haven't won anything since 2016. Yeah.
Since they won the league, yeah.
See, I knew that. You didn't know that. But, so, like, to me, surely this would be massive, but I don't know. They were just so scared nearly off... like, they were talking about Limerick. They were just around the corner, and, you know, we got to be ready for them, and it didn't seem like a big enough deal for them. I just thought it was a bit strange. Do you think they're nervous about, like, over-celebrating it and then... getting hammered later in the championship.
That was definitely the
or giving Limerick any more fuel than they need.
Yeah, Lohan wouldn't let him, I would say, anyway. If they were starting acting the bollocks would carry on the pitch, they'd be pulled on them after.
But it was a bit sad, though. No, that like that they couldn't have enjoyed it a bit more because
Niall.
It's kind of the way the modern player is, isn't it? Like the league, job obviously, is that's it. Like,
Derry looked really when they won it in the football.
Yeah,
like. You know, they did the whole. I know, like, when the full time whistle went, they were very shake hands with Dublin and what all the rest of it. But you know, they got the throwing the trophy about and
I suppose you know, they know straight away they're facing off against Limerick in a bear pit of monsters.
And if Cork then the following week,
they're all going to be crackers. Like, I mean, I just can't wait for now.
Can't wait. Honestly,
just want to say ahead of that one that the Burn is absolutely shit. I'll get stuck into them in 2 weeks' time. Don't worry. They're there as a tourist attraction. Like the Cliffs of Moher, the most overrated thing of all time.
Do you think?
Oh, highly overrated. Really? Absolute shit.
You went
and
there,
then they're like, oh, the burn. And it's just a load of rocks that were nothing grows.
Limestone.
Like that. Giant's Causeway's a bit like that,
dude. Limestone, man.
Limestone. you look like you're a man who'd love a bit of limestone. To be honest.
A day in the burn, man. You can't beat it. A bit of solitude. Take it all in.
Monaghan. I was taking this all in up in Clonus. Monaghan 112. Cavan 312. My first time in Clonus. Didn't know what to expect. Can safely say I was disappointed by the whole day. It was like, you know, some towns you go into, you're like 10 years back in time. This one was like going 30 years back in time.
Clonus is a bit like that, yeah. Now, like on all...
Is that the whole of Monaghan or just...
No, just Clonus, I think, to be fair. It's a bit, like, God help them. Because like, when an Ulster final's on and it's like a bit of a strip and, you know, all the pubs are full and everything, it is nice. You do a little pub crawl all the way up to the stadium and there's a really good buzz about the place, but like a preliminary round where the stadium's not going to be full and
I thought I was going up here thinking there's going to be a massive crowd, huge rivalry there. I thought they hated each other.
They do, to be fair.
It's just dead.
Was the fans there though? I'd say were pretty loud and passionate. No,
passionate enough once the game got going the last 20 minutes there. Yeah. Kevin got the goal, but apart from that, it was fairly tame affair.
Yeah, well, preliminary rounds are normally not the most exciting thing in the world, but it's just so close after the league, isn't it? Like it's too condensed. Just a week later.
I was expecting the town to even have a train station. How do people get there? Just buses and say the amount of drink driving that goes on is absolute scandalous.
Yeah, no. Like when Tyrone were reaching Ulster finals for fun, we always organised a bus down there and back because you couldn't rely on the transport. To be fair, but and then I'm sort of too young to remember like casement days. Really, I'm sure it would have been. Maybe better in terms of an environment and a roundup.
It'll come back.
It'll come back. Yeah, yeah. We'll get there.
Was there very few fans on one side of the pitch?
I'd say the opposite side to the TV stand made it look a bit bigger because they always do that.
Yeah.
My side, I'd say it was 70%, 75% empty,
I'd say.
Yeah.
Because there was only 8,000 there, like.
Was it only 8,000?
Yeah.
It was very poor. Either terraces behind the goals. Dead. There was no one. There was literally no one in one of them. I mean, they weren't selling tickets for it, but the other one, I'd say.
It's disappointing, isn't it? You know, you think a big Ulster derby in Clonus. I know you said it's only
it's right on the border there as well.
But also, like, just didn't feel like championship even before. Like it just doesn't feel like
it doesn't.
Like now that it's happened though and it's over, I'd say. Well, like Cavan played Tyrone next, and I'd say a lot of them Cavan fans will travel. You know, happy enough and to do so, but. Yeah, it is. They gotta change something about this condensed.
Is it the format? We're going to talk about it later. Is it the ticket price have a thing to play it as well?
It has to do.
It has to be. No, I forgot to apply for the media pass to get me in the press room, but someone just gave me a ticket for going in for free.
All right.
Some woman in Orkin, I was like, sound for that.
Nice.
But was this game as big of a shock as people are kind of making out? Cavan are third in Division 2, like Monaghan had an absolutely shocking league campaign. I don't think it was as much of a surprise as people are going on about, Lee.
No, yeah, and it's actually Cavan have beat them in the championship the two times previous to this, so that's now three times in a row Cavan have beat Monaghan in championship football. You know, some teams just have your number, you know, regardless of form even. Monaghan did have a poor lead. Cavan had a pretty respectable lead. They ended it kind of poorly with their two games, but going in strong, and Raymond Gallagher's got a real buzz out of it. You know, there was a lot made of the sort of 30-man coaching staff team that he has, but they were all praising the likes of like Stevie O'Neill, the forwards coach, and things for the impact that they've had on the players. Paddy Lynch was singing his praises to the BBC afterwards, you know, and it's all sort of paying dividends now. Like there's just a really good buzz about Cavan played good football. I thought even when they were down, they never looked out, and there was a stage in Monaghan went 2 points clear when Rory Began kicked from play, and it was sort of like, right, you know, that's the hard part nearly over. Monaghan are going to take over now because they're the bigger team, you know, the more experienced. All-Ireland semi-finalists last year, you know, put a good performance against Dublin. But, you know, Cavan just never let them. And it was good to see, like, yeah. I mean, that is Ulster football at its best, you know. You don't know who's going to win. It's competition.
Rory Began got his start. Now, he missed a few field goals for Lad. He was flat out practicing them for the last few months.
He scored, he did miss a few. He scored... he scored a few nice ones as well. In fairness, he made a brilliant save too from Paddy Lynch. That was showed great.
One of the best saves we'll see all year.
Yeah, showed great because Lynch hit it perfect, didn't he?
Yeah.
Nice, kept it low bottom along the ground.
And the pass before.
Pass was brilliant, yeah, from Keane Madden. But I'd say, did we maybe over-egg kind of Cavan's bad finish to the league? And I know it was so bad the way they finished the league, weren't they? Hammered by Armagh and then... Who else was it beat them? Some
Fermanagh,
beat them in the last, yeah, and you wouldn't have expected
and they
that.
And got relegated and stuff.
But
yeah,
the thing was that Cavan had got what they wanted out of the league.
Exactly.
That they weren't too fussed, I'd say, about not making the final. They were up probably in third, fourth place for a finish. And you know, they had been very good up to then in the league. So I'd say we might have read a bit too much into that, and they had played very well earlier on in the league anyway. But one thing I would say, because I know the two of you are raring to stick a knife into me about Monaghan and me giving them as dark horses for the All Ireland Championship last week, which I did, and I hold my hands up for that. But one thing I would say is they were missing, I would say, are their two best players right now, in Stephen O'Hanlon and Micheál Bannigan. Like, so.
All I'm hearing and listen, is excuses.
This is only. Right. This
but
is
see,
only
what he also
days.
Said was that they're going to beat Tyrone, knock Tyrone out of the Ulster Championship. So
yeah,
can't wait to see that fixture.
Yeah.
That
so
won't
that'll
happen.
Be left to Cavan now. And to be
and
honest,
Westmeath will beat Wicklow.
Westmeath will beat Wicklow.
That's Tipperary or shit.
He said Westmeath will reach the Leinster final.
We're going to leave that job to Cavan now. I think Cavan will knock Tyrone, I'd say, out of the
and reach the Leinster final.
Ulster Championship now. One thing I would say is Raymond Gallaghan, lads, he's so impressive, isn't he?
He's brilliant.
Even just in the bit of crack he'd have on the television when he's talking. And I always thought that about him whenever he was interviewed as a player. He's just so level-headed and seems like he could get on with anyone. Seems like a great manager. And Shabbat, he has a 31-strong backroom team there behind him. Like, so it was funny. He was saying, Canavan was like, will you give us back Peter or Stephen O'Neill for next week?
Yeah.
And he's brilliant. And Cavan are going well.
And zero managerial experience. Never managed a team.
Yeah.
And now he's
just
the county
for us
manager.
Yet, lads. We should take over some team and just...
Yeah.
Dominate some football championship.
Tipperary footballers.
they'll be in need of a manager soon.
Yeah, they take us.
I thought it was boring enough old game until the Faulkner goal, but what a goal it was.
Oh, what a goal. The way he turned them on, and then it just so direct, straight for goal, put his boot through it, hit the roof of the net, and he got mowed in the middle of it too. Yeah. Because the only way you were going to stop him was by committing to the tackle. And when you were going full pelt directly at goal, like, someone's coming in for you. You know it is. So, like most forwards, they have that instinct where they do a little jink or, you know, to try and sort of delay that committed tackle. But he was bullish in what he was going
to
do.
I'd love to see it
and
tap in.
Loved to see it. I was going to say it probably let a spark there, but and I know there was not that many people there, but like it definitely just
no,
watched
it did.
It on
the
TV.
The game was dead until that goal.
Yeah, it definitely. And then he got man of the match for RTE.
He did. Canavan actually overruled Paul Flynn and Cor Staunton. The two of them wanted to give it to Paddy Lynch.
It should have been Lynch.
Yeah.
Well, did you hear who the BBC gave it to?
Who did they give it to?
Rory Began.
Ah, no.
I swear. Philly McMahon, in fairness to him, he was giving it to him on commentary. He's like, I think it's going to be Rory Began. And then as soon as he says it, Cavan win the turnover and Paddy Lynch gets the goal.
You can over
Began caught a mile off out of goal.
Yeah, you can overrule it, like, because they did that with Chelsea and United in the week. Did you see that?
Oh,
Garnacho
yeah.
was getting it, and then they gave it to Palmer after he gets the hat trick.
That's right. Oh, you couldn't not give it to Palmer there, but then they had an interview Began afterwards, and he was just having none of it. They were like, "So what about this NFL?"
They just want to talk to him. Is that what they gave him the man?
I think so. It was just an excuse, and he's like, "Everyone else can make a song or dance about it, but we're focused on the next game."
Oh, I say he was bullying.
He was just because they just lost the game as well. But how good was Began? More to the point, I thought he was brilliant.
Yeah,
I don't think he was as good as people are making out.
Why? What did he?
He missed these few field goals for a lad who was there for fucking like 9 months.
I mean, he's a few. He must have missed.
I think he missed three.
Is it three?
I want to say
because I thought he kicked some really good ones as well.
He did have a peach of a point from play,
and then one from play. Yeah, and then that save, because the save was so important, because surely that's the one thing he probably wasn't working on.
Yeah,
you know, for weeks on end or whatever. And then like just his link up play coming out and all. And I seen he got some stick for the goal, but they were 3 points down at that stage.
The last
with
goal,
him, yeah.
Ah,
with a minute left,
should have had to go for it.
If he's not going for it,
the game was over.
That.
The game was
exactly.
over. It was literally over.
The worst thing he got done.
Cavanaghs were celebrating.
They were celebrating.
They were celebrating the turnover.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And then that pass and Paddy Lynch to get the finish. 1-9 to finish with, yeah. Brad, maybe should have gone man of match, but I'm not going to argue with Peter the Great.
Yeah. Speaking of passes, that pass for the Monaghan goal in. Jeez, I can't even remember who gave it now, and I'm after saying it.
The Monaghan goal?
For the Monaghan goal.
Who did give that?
Who gave the initial pass in? Oh, shit, lads.
We really should have known. We all watched the game. Because, you know, when you said that pass in from Monaghan, I thought you were going to talk about the Jack McCarron pass into Conor McManus for his point.
That was did you see delicious. It? Absolutely it
on the sideline.
I can't even remember.
For Conor McManus's point in the first half. Did anyone watch
it? It was Carol O'Connell gave the pass in for the initial one. Gave it to Conor McCarthy.
Right, yes.
For the goal. But that McCarron pass McManus was just, it was perfect. Like, it allowed McManus to turn his man before he'd even take the ball.
And there's something so risky. See, when you're, the sideline is like to the left of you and you're just touching it and you're going to do that kickball. Because like any spin on it at all and it's out and it's then out, the groans and you're just like, oh no, you know, you look so foolish. So it has, it just the extra pressure of it sort of thing. But then McManus just slotting it over, like, you know, with relative ease. Like, he finished with three. He's still, what was he like in the flesh?
Grand. I didn't really get much of a takeaway from him, much of an aura. I was like, oh, God, that's Conor McManus. He was all right. Like, he wasn't bad, I don't think, but he wasn't that great either. I suppose one thing I wanted, or someone I wanted to give a shout out to, was Hughes. He was down injured for ages. Mm. Like, that was, looking at it, it looked absolutely fine, just like a run of the middle incident. And, you know, they'd be down for 20, 30 seconds, but he'd eventually get up. But then after a while, he was still punching the floor after a minute or so.
Yeah.
So, by all accounts, it looks like his knee is potentially gone. I mean, he's 36.
Yeah.
So that's possibly the end of his career. Lee, you've probably seen the most, let's face it. So can you give a word to all Hughes?
Yeah, man. It's also not surprising that if he was going to get an injury like that, it'll be because he was like fully committed into a tackle, because that's the way he plays football.
What does it look like on the TV? Because live, as I said, it looked absolutely fine.
It innocuous enough, I suppose. Like, it wasn't, you see it in slow motion and things, you can see how it could have went wrong, kind of. Ciara Keane gave an update on Twitter. He said that he's home now and that the MRI scan or whatever showed that there's no breaks. So that's a positive. But, it you know, then that means ligaments, and then that could mean anything, really. Mm-hmm. So I guess we don't know anything yet. But, I mean, I'd love to see him again in a Monaghan jersey. I love watching him in full flow. Like, he brings so much. It's just like Action Man in the middle of the park. Like, you know.
Jesus, there was kids there screaming at him while he was down. And they were screaming at him, he broke his leg. Jesus, if I was him, broken leg or no broken leg, I would have got up and got one of them.
You always get annoyed by kids at stadiums every time you're there.
Well, there was the food fight in Parky Quay.
Yeah.
And there was screaming at a lad that he broke his leg there yesterday.
Yeah.
So I think I have fair reason to be honest.
Yeah, no, fair enough. With a condensed season and all as well. Like, even best case scenario, it is just ligament damage. You know, what's that like? Still like 8 weeks or something, you know, independent. So we might not see him. I don't want to retire the man either, because he could come back next year. If any man could, it'd be him. Mm. But I'd love to see him back in a Monaghan jersey and back playing football as soon as possible.
Now, as I mentioned, I was at the game and I spoke to some Monaghan and Cavan fans before, and I met some interesting characters, lads, it's fair to say. Describe your average Monaghan man.
Brown boots, checkered shirt, super dry chain, hairy ears, eyebrow piercing, mullet, ugly, shite footballer, and smelly. Smells like high shite.
Is there any differences between Ulster fans and fans from the rest of the country?
Ulster fans are good crack, like a bit of beer. The rest of the fans are fannies. Don't take a drink at all. Go to the games and don't even bring any sandwiches or anything like that. Don't even enjoy the town and the crack. They just go, oh, here's my scan ticket. Let me shake my protein shake and watch this game. And let me be a little... anyway, sorry. Leave it at that.
Which is more competitive, Ulster football or Munster hurling?
I don't watch that hockey stuff now. That's just a bit boring for me now. It's not really a sport that much, more so like football. Football is a bit of laugh, a bit of crack and all of it. And the Munster hurling, like, who even is down there, Munster? I don't even know. Is Clare in Munster? Is Limerick in Munster? I couldn't tell you. Anyway, let's move on from that.
Describe your average cabin man.
Just miserable, who are I? Just a complete day. Just said there should be a checkpoint here to take the sandwiches off them.
What about the money? They love the money.
They're all accountants, aren't they? Most qualified who are.
Is there any difference between Ulster fans and fans from the rest of the country?
Oh, of course, there's plenty of fucking difference. So there is, like, the Ulster competition, so much more competition between
the Ulster rivals. So there is, like, between Mon and Cavan, you have got Mon and Tyrone. And there's so much more passionate about the fucking game. Like, in the Leinster competition, you've got nothing. You've got Dublin, who? You know what I mean?
There's well,
nothing.
They're shite and we're class.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's just narrow,
like,
down.
Like, you're not going to hope, like, New York or something's not going to win the Connacht or anything. Like, you know what I mean? There's no competition there. There's always been a competition in Ulster.
Describe your average Cavan man.
Absolute chance you never get a view of the wallet. Cavan man, you know what they're like.
Pretty sure I'm pretty sure the Cavan man was the man who discovered the dole. He's always hungry for the money. Don't you worry, a Cavan man. If there's money to be got, a Cavan man would be there to get it.
If there was water in my mouth, he'd fucking rob it off you too. Like, I tell you,
Chancers.
These fucking Chancers is right.
Anything you want to pick up on there?
How did you, like, what was it like? Kind of, did you just set up camp?
I set up camp. It was kind of one of those occasions. They came to me.
Right.
The darts crowd, them were probably the two ones where they came to me.
Right. So you'd chat away to one lad, and then other lads would kind of hang around.
Yeah,
they'd
see how it's going, and then, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a good point one of them made about, you know, Ulster fans just, they're so passionate, in fairness to them, aren't they? Like, some of them just, like...
There's only 8,000 of them there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking passionate.
Old Coors Light brings a lot of passion out, in fairness.
It does, yeah. There was one fella who kept saying combination instead of competition. There's no combination in Leinster. He must have said it 3 times.
Right, we are headed for the banana and the cup of tea at halftime. Come back to us in the second half, where we'll have Take Your Point and an hour-long discussion about John Cleary's All-Ireland winning Cork beating Limerick in the Park.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back. It is now time for Take Your Point, where we go through one bad point of the weekend's action and one good point. It is not just limited to action on the pitch. Anything goes. Lee, you're up first here once more. Your good point from the weekend's action.
My good point is Tom O'Connell's iconic celebration for Waterford against Tipperary, where he gave it the full...
The YMCA.
Yeah, he scored a goal. He did both hands out. Not a soul in the place. Didn't care. I don't know who he was celebrating to, but he scored 2-3. He was brilliant. It was a fantastic performance by him, and he loved every second of it. And is that not what football's about? Like, what's the point in scoring a goal in a big championship game if you're not going to celebrate it? He gave it the full Mo Salah, and then he did the Marcus Rashford thinking afterwards.
Well, what would your celebration be if you were a GAA player?
Well, I'd need a... If I was a GAA player, I am a GAA player.
Well, sorry, if you're an intercounty GAA player.
Yeah, oh, no, not yet. But it would involve a full team, you know, orchestra. Like, because
oh,
I would,
yes, like NFL job. Like,
yeah. I would, I quite like the machine gun. And they all sort of fall down in a lane.
Just couldn't have Croft Park.
Yeah. Well, okay, maybe stick to the bowling pin. Give it that. But Sahan really... I want to bring the team involved in, the, you know, so they can all bask in my glory.
Niall, what about your bloody Sunday over here?
I was just going to say a simple finger wag. Like, I didn't want to go this far, like, shooting.
we need someone to hit the Sui, the Ronaldo.
Yeah, yeah. I remember Shane McGuigan said it in an interview.
But he said it weird.
Before, he said it, just threw it in there, like, but... Yeah.
Who's the John Cena, you can't see me? Jesus, I can't
remember. Rain O'Neill,
yeah. Go on.
If anyone's going to do something like the Sui, I'd say Tom O'Connell is your man.
Yeah.
He just kind of Like, he was kind of, you know, when players get the goal, they kind of wheel away, like, and continue talking. He stopped and composed himself for this brilliant celebration.
But you know what players talk about, like, being in the zone and whatever? Do you think he's, like, completely manifested this arena in his head, and he's basically a Premier League footballer? So we're all living in his world, really, you know, like, and he sees all the fans and he's giving it the big celebration and everything he thinks happens, like, but... I just thought it was really good. Like,
manifestation. The Gritty as well would be another good one to see.
The what?
The Gritty.
Oh, yeah.
I have one for the hurling. It's the pizza oven.
Go on.
Well, I need a hurley now, but we don't have one. I'll bring in a hurley now the next like session to demonstrate.
Okay.
Yeah. It's,
do it with the mic there.
Is there anything we can use as a hurley?
Use a laptop.
Not. There's not. I'll save it for the next day. Niall, stick with you here. We didn't even get to your good point. Jared Byrne speech you've written down here. Last week's.
But good point. No, Jared Byrne gave another great speech in Thurles. I thought it was a nice touch from him. He let a sponsor who was a Clareman, he let him present the cup. But it was just, I suppose, I'm talking about the Clare fans as well. Like, they were, you know, they were celebrating it like it was a Munster Championship victory. They nearly took over the field on Semple Stadium, freed from desire. Straight after Conor Cleary gave his speech, freed from desire came on and the speaker, and you were just waiting like for, you know, limbs.
Why is that like the Clare national anthem all of a sudden?
I don't know. Is that with
That's
Clare?
That's the one they played in Cusack Park last year as well after all the games.
Well, it's a belter in fairness if your team has won, like, and I was just waiting for the place to go wild because everyone was out on the pitch, like, but unfortunately there was no limbs, as they say in English sports. But it was Jared Byrne's kind of just set the tone brilliantly once again. Like, these speeches are just iconic.
He'll be outside the GPO next. He will. Come on, your bad point
he
here.
He will. One thing he did actually say, he called Conor Cleary's club Kilmally, and it is Kilmaley. But listen, that's only a very small...
he's lost my vote.
minor thing. My good point, or my bad point from the weekend, this one is, I suppose, one that is close to my heart. It's my own county, and it was a very disappointing weekend for the Tipperary footballers, I suppose, as we've already talked about there, losing to Waterford. It's probably, the sad thing is that it's not a huge surprise. They drew at Waterford in the league, and, you know, they had a terrible league. They drew with London. It's been a real downward spiral for Tipperary football the last few years. Look, I suppose they won the Munster Championship in 2020. You're well aware of that as a Corkman, Dan. We beat Cork in a phenomenal day in back in the COVID in 2020. Got to an All Ireland semi final.
Lee, what was your
to be only 4 years on and to be losing?
Look, Tipperary are shite.
Is very disappointing. One thing I'd say, lads, hold on a second now. Only seven of the 20 that played against Cork that day are still on the Tipperary football panel. You're missing key lads, didn't commit. This year, Kevin Fahey, their centre back, didn't commit. You've obviously Michael Quinlivan, Bill Maher, Liam Casey, missed a few other lads as well. But it's just very disappointing for Tipperary football. It's a sign of how they've been going the last few years, but it's not good.
Lee, your bad point here, make it snappy.
It's Niall's really long bad point is my bad point. No, I'm only joking. my bad point is because I've thrown a lot of praise at Vinnie Corey. I thought he's done a fantastic job at Monaghan. No one wanted the job, and he really turned him around last year and performed miracles, really. But I was disappointed when he prevented, or I suppose I don't know the ins and outs of their conversation, but Stephen Mooney is a part of the Monaghan under 20 team. He's their main man up front, and he didn't play in their game against Derry so he could be a part of the senior panel, and yet he only came on with 2 minutes left of injury time, so got 2 minutes of football. Like, so they lost to Derry in the under 20s and they lost to Cavan in the seniors. This man was so good that he wasn't allowed to play both, but in the end only got like 2 minutes, you know. Rory Gallagher did something similar to Lachlan Murray, missed out in an Ulster final and then only played him for a few minutes for the senior team, and I just don't think it's fair.
Let's get the minnows out of the way now. London, this was the championship opener. Now, keep in mind, 9 points. Galway, 5-21. I mean, the best thing about this was Big John being there.
You see the him and John Maher. John Maher came over and shook his hand and said, "It's a pleasure to meet you." So it was one Big John respecting another. Bosh.
Very briefly, but surely games like this don't help anyone, Lee.
No, definitely not. I actually did watch this game and it was infuriating. London down tools. I thought they were very hard to watch. New York made a much better show of themselves against Mayo. This one was, that was difficult now.
Leitrim 6 points, Sligo 15 points. Call themselves the big dogs and it's just Sligo. New York 2-6, Mayo 2-21. Gaelic Park, surely the most aesthetic GA stadium out there.
What do you mean?
Like aesthetically pleasing to look at.
Is it not 3G?
I thought it was Gaelic Park. Yeah, the pitch,
yeah.
Like.
It is 3G, yeah. But yeah. Do you not
that's
like
way it looks as
that? Do you hate it?
But that's why it's really, it's not grass. No, I find it a bit distracting.
Do you?
Yeah. Cool. There's so many lanes and stuff on it, doesn't look like a Gaelic pitch. Yeah. No, yeah, I'm the traditionalist. My God. What happened?
You need to broaden your horizons, man.
Sorry. And this New York nonsense.
Tyrone lads on about lines once again. Wexford 4-19, Carlow 8 points. Just an absolute demolition job there. Yeah. Longford 3-12, Meath 3-19. That wouldn't seem like a decent enough on one. Anyone watch that?
Yeah, well, Meath got, I've seen the highlights. Meath were on fire with their shooting, obviously. They had 87% accuracy in the first half. They've Dublin next week, so, you know.
But Longford beat them in the first round last year, didn't they? Was it not?
Could have.
I think they did, no, yeah. And they knocked them out and it was like really disappointing. So like, you know, yeah. Whatever way you deem progress or success, you know, that it's progress.
Westmeath 1-11, Wicklow 2-9. I mean, you'd swear this one was the second coming of Christ. I mean, they beat Westmeath for fuck's
sake. Well, after Niall built them up.
what do you mean, like?
I mean, like, was it that big a shock as everyone thought? Like, I mean,
I was shocked.
It's big.
Westmeath, like,
yeah. I don't underestimate them. They're the most underrated team in the country.
I thought Monaghan were the dark horse.
Yeah.
Look, it was tough for Westmeath, wasn't it, to go out the week after winning the Division 3, to have to go out and Wicklow, great win for them. But yeah, Westmeath didn't show up.
Yeah, same with Leitrim as well. They in Division 4 final, and then they had to play a game. What, 7 days later? It's tough going.
Waterford 2-7, Tip 1-5. It was the first time in 36 years Waterford beat Tip in football. Wow. Geez, their footballers are going better than the hurlers at the moment.
Do you want to wind me up on this again? Like,
wind you up on it and that. It's what I do.
Just go on to the next one.
€27 to watch that in Friarfield. Like, I mean, that's scandalous
crazy.
Price.
That's crazy.
That is
crazy.
Waterford now go on to play Clare in a Munster semi-final. I think we could probably spend the next hour or so talking about this one. Cork's 3-13, Limerick 11 points. Well, it won't be the last time we beat those Limerick villains in Parkyqueave this year. I cannot fucking wait for them to come down. Cork, seriously underrated forward line. Lee, discuss Cork brilliance.
I'm actually always talking about their forward line. I've always been really confused though that Stephen Sherlock and Brian Hurley can't seem to play in the same team. I don't mean that they can't, I just mean John Cleary doesn't
Sherlock's
like it.
Coming in as a super sub, like, yeah.
Yeah, but if Brian Hurley's ever injured or, you know, carrying a knock or whatever, suspended, Stephen Sherlock's straight in and he always performs well in them circumstances. I just love to see them both in the pitch because I don't think they're similar players. I think they're two different kinds of forwards. One's very direct and demonic nearly in the way that he takes on his man, determined, Brian Hurley, and then Sherlock's much more technical and obviously brilliant on the freeze. You know, when you've got that firepower, I just don't know why they don't use both of it. But yeah, I like watching Cork's forwards when they're in full flow. I grew up watching a powerful Cork team, a really fearful Cork team in football, and I think it's sad seeing their sort of demise in recent years. So it'd be good for Munster and just good for football in general if Cork can get their act together.
We now go to everyone's favourite segment here on the GA Hour. It is the infamous player problems. We're going to go for a huge mass debate here at the end of this, lads, mm-hmm. So just be prepared for that. Mm-hmm. We ask the people, what should the GA do to entice more people to get into games? From Instagram, we had Owen Nylan, stop putting TV schedule ahead of fans. Michael Conlon comes in and says, minors on before seniors. It's kind of a bit of a long-lost tradition now, is it? Yeah. Or that's becoming less of a thing.
Yeah.
Bill Heaney says, start taking cash. 30 into the €30 into a stand in Carrick and Shannon is a joke. Now, I would have thought you could buy the whole stadium in Carrick and Shannon for £30, to be honest.
What did Neilan mean, stop putting TV schedule ahead of fantasy? He's saying not to have the games on telly?
I think it was because he actually did follow it up and I didn't mention it.
Yeah.
It was because the Clare Kilkenny one was on so late that it was difficult for them to get back.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay. Fred, yes.
Peace mind.
Yeah.
Fair enough for the people of Clare, but yeah. Kilkenny are only 20 minutes away. Yeah. I'm sure they'll still have their excuses. Hugh McGrain says cheerleaders. In favour of that.
Left field. Get on to Sarah.
Niall, what do you think? Really detailed opinion on this now.
Give Sarah a shout. Like you have the contact with her.
I have to hook up with Sarah.
Yeah.
Martin Scarry comes in and says, more games. Friday, Saturday evenings under lights, which is an argument against what Owen said. Mick the Whip says, have matches in New York. The place is jammed. Are we going to go to the ones on Twitter now?
The Friday, Saturday lights would be ideal, like, but you can't really have players playing matches of a Saturday, a Friday night.
No,
lads are working. Like.
Yeah.
Tuppy Glossop comes in and says, price, €27 to watch Watford and Tip in Fraher Field. Nope, never in the month of Sundays. Forget about it. It's the quality of matches. Maybe consider families. The amount of money I've spent on the league alone is mad. €5 for a program on top of price. Go back to the old system. Championship starts way too early. You boys in blue says more chances of Limerick winning Sam this year than GA making a good decision that helps the fans in any way, shape or form. In the case of Cork, there was a lot of club league matches, reduced ticket prices. It just seems to be reduced ticket prices, lads, is the main overriding arc here. Do you think they are too expensive?
I'd say it's a mix between the ticket prices being expensive and the amount of games that are on. Do you know, like, you could be going to a game nearly every weekend.
Yeah.
And I suppose, look, €27 is a good bit to go and see Tip and Waterford play football. There probably should be more of a, like, it's probably the same. It's probably something very similar, say, to go to a Munster hurling final. Do you know, it's probably still €30, like. So,
well, if you're a family as well. It's
more staggered, I think.
Yeah, and you're bringing your kids. So how much are the kids and they charge for everything? And
you should get more value for money out of your season ticket. Is my big takeaway.
Really. Yeah. Is that just count for the league, does
you
it?
You only get your league games, as far as you know, and your potential place in Croker. Sure, I won't affect any Tip lads like yourself anyway.
Yeah, like there should be more. The season ticket should extend onto the championship. I'm not going to even answer that second.
Lee, what do you think the GA need to do to get more people into games?
Well, you got to look at the structure, first of all. I mean, like, the championship sort of came in with a whimper. There was no build-up. There was no time to, like, nearly starve you off the ball, you know, mm-hmm. so you can really then enjoy the celebration when it comes. When people are saying the championship's coming too soon, I don't even think that's the case. Like, we talk about structures and formats and all the rest of it, but I think the provincial championship should be first. I think the National League should be played then, and it go right through April, and then you go into that All-Ireland group stage series if you're going to make it, because we've got the split season now, and everyone blames the split season, but the players love it. And then in the second year of the split season, they just added a load more games, so you've got more games in less time than they've ever done. And when you've got that many games, you're just devaluing you know, everything, and there's so little jeopardy in a lot of these games.
We talk about it last year, Lee, there was something in the football, there's something like 24 games to get rid of three teams, like, in the football championship, like.
Yeah. It's just shocking.
There's no jeopardy there.
That's, you know, you could miss every other game. You could,
yeah.
You know, because you'll still see what you need to see.
Yeah.
Really, like, now, like, in saying that, like, we talk Ulster Championship or whatever. Like, I think Derry and Donegal, it's going to be a sellout. I've seen clubs and all, you know, because of the demand for the tickets and everything. But you know that, you know, that's two teams that are definitely going to go at it. There is jeopardy there. The Ulster fan could arguably be on the line in that match. But they're just so few and far between. And then the league as well, because of the way it's formatted and where it's at in the calendar, so many league games don't matter because teams are holding back. They don't want to make the final. If they do make the final, then it means their first game in the provincials is going to be at a cost of that, as we found out with Westmeath. There's loads of reasons why games have lost all value.
John Enright says, bring back double headers across both sports. Galway and Dublin had ones this year, but more needed. Is that a good way, Niall, do you reckon?
So having hurling and football,
I suppose it only works for a select few counties.
Yeah, it'll only work for a few. It's a good shout, and you could add in Camogie games and ladies football games as well.
That comes with the integration, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, they still do it the odd time, when counties have same fixtures and so on. But definitely double headers. I think everyone loves a double header. Get in for the whether you watch two of them or at the end of one of them.
The season ticket as well, surely, well, we're talking that's about it anyway, one. Like, it should be all championship games included. It's like 150 quid yeah. plus for like Cork when we do go on to do the double. Like, it's for both hurling and football. So that's going to be 300 quid you're spending yeah. on a season yeah. ticket, like, yeah. which is an absolute
and
then joke.
Like, that's someone's Christmas present and they're sad. Do yeah. you know what I mean? Like, once you get your season ticket, if it's done that way, but no.
Yeah.
Shooting themselves in the foot, the GA.
KG says, stop robbing the punters. The season ticket cost me a fortune last year with the padded out championship. Wayne Donegan not have games during hurricanes. Rebel County, this was actually my burner account, at Rebel Carkick says, cheerleaders, and then a load of tongue out faces. what a legend.
In skorts or shorts, is what it's saying.
The GA board should resign. They only care about money. Stop showing games on TV. Simple. Says that.
Simple.
John
That'll grow
Moran.
The game.
Niall Casey says, slash ticket prices, greedy whores. And Sarah, lads, she's back. Oh. Sarah, 18 plus, have a far better gift in my bio link once again.
she's the reason I can't afford to go
she's
to matches.
She keeps on giving.
Well, in her profile here, it says, I'd suck the soul out of you for real. If she was at the first 60 minutes of Kevin Monaghan, the soul was already well sucked. So shouldn't need to worry about that.
No need for you, Sarah.
And you got your 27-euro worth.
We actually got a voice note from a mysterious Donegal man on our Instagram about the whole situation involving the GA and getting more fans in and the ticket prices. So let's listen to that now by this mysterious Donegal man.
Hi lads, just saw your question there about how to fix GA attendance, and I think it's a very, very simple fix, but the GA misses it all the time. Obviously, the tickets are an issue. People want to have their own ticket, they want to be able to buy the ticket at the ground, and they want to be able to pay cash for it. So that is an obvious thing, and the tickets are far too expensive. You could get tickets for fucking Premier League games for the same price as you'd get for a first round of championship game. That is all part of it. But the main problem I have, especially with football, is they keep fucking changing the game every couple of weeks. Every couple of months, there is a new rule of some sort that some people have to catch up on in the attempt to fix the game and fix the way that the matches are going. The matches actually aren't the problem. The game is not broken. The game keeps getting more broken every time they bring in a new rule trying to fix something that wasn't broken in the first place. So if they stopped fucking with the GAA rules, maybe, I don't know, give it 5 years of no rule changes, see how the new rules that they've brought in over the last couple of months bed in, and see how they go. They keep changing the game, and it's incredibly frustrating. So that is number one thing that they need to do in order to fix the GAA attendances.
Jesus, he was an angry bollocks, wasn't he?
That's just Donegal, man. They don't want to change the game. Jim McGuinness changed it in 2011, and you don't need to change it back.
Niall, what did you think of that?
Yeah, angry man. He'd be in his bonnet. There's something seriously, seriously wrong with him.
The full-time whistle has gone. Lads, there's absolutely no good games next week. Dublin Meath is the highlight.
Yeah,
it looks like a shit weekend.
It's not a brilliant weekend. Like,
look, we'll still be back here. Actually, don't bother listening to next week. We'll be back the week after.
Just don't bother, because then it's Clare, Limerick, Dan. The Munster Championship is here.
Oh, no, do we listen, because I need to have a pop off two of them bastards.
Okay.
Yeah, so do listen just for that alone. Just burn a shit in those Limerick villains. I'm coming for you. Thanks a million for joining us once more here on the GA Hour. Be sure to retweet, repost any of our content, as it's so important to help us grow. Throw us a shagging like. Be sure to tell your friends about us as well. Throw us into the club group chat and give us a 5-star. We don't ask for much, lads. Give us a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on. Niall, Lee, it has been a pleasure. I will chat to you all next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.